Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Swamp Swami Podcast! And now here's the star of your show, Swamp Swami! Yay!
Welcome back to SwampSwami.com, sports commentary and more. Today we ponder sports questions for the remainder of 2020. Though much of the country is trying to take one careful step at a time right now to come out and deal with life after this coronavirus pandemic, the sports landscape has, for the most part, gone blank. Other than the fortunate timing of the NFL's season having already concluded, sports fans of the other major sports like basketball, hockey, and baseball have literally been shut down while we collectively figure out ways to deal with everything. In the short term, there wasn't a question that the right step was to shut everything down to keep people safe and work as hard as possible on both the cure and medicines and practices that would speed up recoveries from the effects caused by a worldwide pandemic. For college basketball this year, no school is meant, no March Madness, and no Final Four conclusion. For college baseball, the end of the on-campus classes has also meant that there'll be no college baseball tailgating in Omaha, Nebraska this June either. The same goes for women's basketball and the softball tournament. Sorry about that, Oklahoma City. So we have some questions to think about. Let's ponder them now. Question number one, what should the NBA and NHL do with their remaining seasons? As of this writing, the National Basketball Association and the National Hockey League still have about 20% of their regular season games remaining, plus their traditional three-month slog of playoff games still to go. Both sports feature a lot of person-to-person contact, so the only conceivable way to play any of those ball games would be to test the players and game officials prior to every single game, even if no fans were admitted into the stands. Since both leagues normally conclude their play in June, a resumption of the 2020 season without adjustments would encroach on King Football, as games would start rolling into the start of the football season. That, I think, would be a very bad idea. For a sports fan like myself, I would prefer that the two leagues immediately end their regular season and award the top 16 teams as playoff participants. If there were any ties involved for the final spot, then a single play-in game would be needed prior to beginning the playoffs. All other tiebreakers between the playoff teams would be determined by the current league rules. Once established, let's now play a 2-out-of-3 series in an empty arena. For example, playing all the NBA's playoff games down at Disney World seems a really smart idea to me. For the finals, we'll make it this year only a best 3-out-of-5 series. If all of this starts in June, you could be finished with both basketball and hockey before mid-July and not have to share the spotlight with football. Now, if a virus were to break out on a playoff team, let's say, well, unfortunately, that team would be required to forfeit any remaining games in this abbreviated 2020 playoff season. To me, this year is much like one of those strike-shortened seasons of the past. Just put a big asterisk next to this year's NBA and NHL champions and proceed on to next season. Question number two, what about Major League Baseball? I think the same concepts should apply to baseball. Finish the regular season with however many games which are played by the date of September 30th, whether that's 50, 40, 30, or whatever, or 100, and shorten all of the playoff series so that the World Series finishes in the month of October, like it's supposed to. It's going to be hard to social distance baseball players in a single dugout. Perhaps they might want to send a few more players to the outfield and the bullpen, and even have a few of your bench warmers just stay in the locker room. You'll also need to run the same daily testing of players and officials like you would in the NBA and NHL too. Now, initially, it might be wise to play some of the games in Florida and in Arizona at the spring training venue sites to minimize travel issues for players. These games could be broadcast and telecast back to each team's home market. Now, if the daily coronavirus count for all major league cities somehow reduces to nearly zero this summer, and again, that's a big if this summer, why not allow the teams to stage their home games just like the churches are going to start doing soon? Fans may occupy seats on every other row. And then on that row, let's say, sell every third seat to keep space between the fans. Now sure, that would mean that about 80% of the stadium would go empty by design, but it might give those lucky 10,000 fans a chance to see a ball game if they so desire. Just like the NBA and NHL, though, if a baseball team develops an outbreak of the virus during the abbreviated 2020 season, that team must forfeit the remaining games for the rest of the year. That forces both the players and the owners to be smarter and more careful in playing their season. Question number three. Why should sports franchise owners voluntarily lose money on these ideas? Shouldn't the players also sacrifice a portion of their paychecks too? Absolutely. If the leagues want to resume playing this year, then both the players and the ownership must quickly agree on a suitable temporary one-year reduced pay agreement to account for the lack of in-stadium revenues. If both sides refuse to deal with the economic realities and returning to action, well, it makes more sense just to simply cancel the season. Now, if that happens, though, the professional sport that does so will be taking a bigger chance on future revenue streams if their fans don't miss that particular sport as much as first thought. Right, baseball? The thought of lower pay for players and lower franchise values for those owners should bring both sides to the table pretty quickly. There's nothing like money to motivate everyone.
Excellent.
Question number four. Should we have a college football season this fall? Sure. But first, remember that the NCAA recently proclaimed, effectively, if a school hasn't opened for on-campus students, then that same school cannot field a college football team this fall either. Hey, that sounds logical to me too. So if schools in the harder-hit areas of the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Upper Midwest states choose not to reopen their campus to students to attend college this fall, then their student-athletes are no different at those schools either. I do believe it's quite possible that one or more schools in the Big Ten or the ACC or other major conferences might not field a team at all this fall. No big deal. Any football conference can opt to cancel their entire slate of games if they choose. On the other hand, NCAA football conferences should allow a great deal of schedule flexibility for non-conference games too. So at worst, the college football teams should play their normal conference schedules, assuming that conference is playing. If any scheduled games for a non-conference opponent aren't available, let's say the team is not playing this season, simply consider it a bye week. So who cares if the season ends this year with Alabama at, let's say, 9-0, Ohio State finishes 5-2, and Oklahoma is 7-1? Regardless of when the regular season ends, and regardless of the number of schools fielding a team in 2020, let's go ahead and select a BCS Final Four and play for a national title. This season will likely have that same big asterisk, just like in the professional sports, but who cares? Question number five. What about the people in the stands for NFL, college, and high school football games this fall? The pageantry associated with football in America is a big ingredient in the game. In addition to the thousands of fans, there are also the marching bands, the cheerleaders, and pep units associated with football games, which must be considered for the resumption of the upcoming football season. Can you imagine the LSU Tigers playing their home football game without the Tiger Band being part of it? Me either. In addition to the incredible amount of testing which is going to be required for the players and officials, is it possible to utilize this current social distancing rules to allow those other student groups to participate in the football games too? Sure it is. As far as seating capacity goes in a stadium, I maintain that a stadium which is still 20% filled, every other row is filled, and in an empty row, and then you add empty seats in between fans on that same row, is a possible solution. For most high schools and smaller colleges, the loss of revenue at some of the home games from spreading out will not be as dramatic as it will be for those who play in large stadium flagship universities in most states. Cutting 80% of the revenue for a home football game, let's say for the University of Texas or Tennessee, would be devastating for that school's overall college athletics budget. There'll be a significant trickle-down effect into the athletic budgets for those other sports at a school if home football game attendance is reduced by upwards of 80% due to social distancing and safety concerns. For the NFL, those same principles also apply. But revenue from television is large enough for the team owners and the players to figure out a way to deal with this issue, at least for this one season. So as the spring advances on, I'm sure that we're going to find out soon enough how our sports world will, or won't, make key adjustments for the remainder of the 2020 year. Stay tuned. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.